Good morning. Imagine, if you will, yourself off in a very strange and difficult land. Imagine that your weary heart cast eyes back toward home, but all that spreads out before you is hundreds of miles of rough and desolate and barren desert, with no possible passage that could be survived for anyone through that rough area. And as the discouragement of that sight settles down over you, suddenly as you look, that desert begins to be carpeted by the most beautiful flowers that you've ever seen. As you watch, instead of that sorry brush that is scattered here and there over the countryside, there arise majestic trees with their beautiful foliage and cover the countryside. Then, as you watch, what was just a sprig of an ugly weed here and there turns into the kind of plant life that would be found in a marsh area instead of an empty desert. As you watch, what was the shimmering mirage of burning sands turns instead to springs of fresh water that turns into streams in the desert. What an amazing transformation that sight would be to weary eyes. But that's not the best of it. Suddenly, in the middle of all that, there arises from the floor of what had been the desert way. The ravines fill in, the ridges are brought down. Instead of an impassable area of desert sand, there is a highway lifted up, a safe passageway by which an individual can travel home. Can you imagine what a thrilling sight that would be to any person who maybe was separated, or who was in captivity, or who was losing hope about where life is headed? Well, that's exactly the theme of the prophecy found in Isaiah 35. The focus of this whole passage is the highway of holiness, which is mentioned down at verse 8 of Isaiah 35. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. That thought is worthy of much consideration on the part of all of us. It is one of the most encouraging pictures that you can ever imagine, and yet it is one that calls for a response from us, and it is one that calls for a commitment from us, and one that we would like all of us to look into together this morning. The first point that needs to be noticed from this passage is that there is a way. There is such a way as this highway that is mentioned here. That way has been brought about by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ into this world. Notice at the end of verse 2 it mentions, "They shall see the glory of the Lord and the majesty of our God." That is what brought about the transformation in the desert that occurred before the eyes of the people mentioned here. You and I have the privilege through the gospel to see in Jesus the glory of God, and to behold that glory full of grace and truth, according to the Apostle John in John chapter 1. The ministry of Jesus confirms that there is a way. Notice that in verse 5 and 6 that it mentions there, "The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame man shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute shall sing for joy." Jesus referred to those very events in his ministry in Luke chapter 7, verse 22. John the Baptist, who had been unjustly imprisoned, sent some of his disciples to Jesus with the question, "Are you the one we're looking for, or do we look for another?" And when those messengers came to Jesus, he answered, "Go and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. The poor have the good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Jesus was referring, at least in part, to that very passage in Isaiah 35. He was saying, "John, remember the promises. Here's what's happening. Here's what I'm doing, and you can see the meaning of it." Jesus' mighty works gave credibility to his claims. When he claimed, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me," he was making a claim to be the way of holiness. He was saying, there is a way into God's presence. There is a way to live. There is a way to heaven, and that way is through me. A further proof that there is now a way is the manner in which the book of Acts applies this point in the New Testament. Did you realize that the most common term by which Luke in the book of Acts refers to Christians is simply to call them the way? In Acts 9 and verse 2, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was going to see if he could find any who were of the way. I can find 6 other times in the book of Acts when Christians are merely referred to as those who were of the way. That means that people who are following Jesus, who is the way, are the people of the way. Our lives are going somewhere. Our lives have a sense of purpose and direction because of Christ. Our lives have an eternal hope because we are people of the way. Acts refers to the way of salvation in Acts chapter 16, to the way of the Lord, and to the way of God in Acts chapter 18. The Hebrew writer stresses that we have a new and living way through the flesh of Jesus because of His blood, according to Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 21. That way is something that we want to be careful not to fall short from, the Hebrew writer says, or not to depart from. So this way of holiness is available to us. What Isaiah could look out across the desert and just envision has been made real through Jesus Christ. The second thing that the prophecy of Isaiah 35 stresses to us is that this way is a wonderful way. If you can imagine the barren desert blossoming like is described here, if you can imagine streams in the desert, then you can just imagine in your mind the wonder of this way. Think about the application here. If it is true that this prophecy is fulfilled in Jesus, then all of the blessings that are described by Isaiah are characteristic of those of us who follow Jesus. If it is true that Jesus is the fulfillment of this way of holiness, then the promised blessings are available to us in Christ. What kind of wonderful way is this? It is first the way of grace. Isaiah 35, verse 2, it says that the glory of Lebanon, that is the mighty trees that are there, shall be given to it, and the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. Carmel and Sharon were the regions on the western part of the country where the grass and flowers flourished. A desert can't produce huge cedar trees, or beautiful flowers, or lush green grass on its own. It is given to it. Verse 2. And the way that it is offered to us in Christ is a way through the grace of God which is opened for us, which is offered to us through the gospel of Jesus. Not only is it a way of grace, it is also a way of purity. I want you to notice in verse 8 where he describes the fact that the unclean shall not pass over it. In the ancient world, I'm told that there would be times when from one temple to another there would be constructed a highway. Only those who were ceremonial pure, according to whatever temple they were going to, could pass over that highway. That image has been adopted here to say to us that this highway of holiness requires holiness in our life. What this passage is talking about is a way where there is no immorality, no uncleanness, no destructive guilt, and no dishonorable conduct and behavior, and no reckless words that destroy people's lives. In the third place, notice that this is a way of truth. It is interesting that toward the end of verse 8, there is a picture which is possible to be taken in two different ways. It talks there about those who walk in the highway of holiness. The older version call it the wayfaring man who walks therein. Even if they're fools, they shall not go astray. One way of taking that phrase in the original language is the suggestion that this is a way which is clear. This is a way which is well lit. This is a way which is open. This is a way that is not going to be mistaken. This is a way that anyone who truly wants to can see and travel. Now there is an application of that very idea in the New Testament. The truth of the gospel is not obscure. The gospel can be preached to every creature, and anyone in the world who will believe and be baptized can walk in that way. On the other hand, this passage may be taken to mean, if they are fools, they shall not wander in it. Johnny Ramsey said, rather than stressing the simplicity of God's word and how that even simple-minded people can find salvation, this passage evidently teaches the truth that wayfaring men, ungodly, rebellious characters shall not accidentally stumble into the way of holiness. That is a truth to be thought about too. It requires that you and I be willing to be taught and to learn and to accept the truth of God in our lives. That's the kind of way this is. In the next place, notice that this is a way of security and safety. In our world right now, we have security locks, security officers, security lights, security services, security alarms, even a National Department of Homeland Security. We are interested in security in every way. This passage says, no lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there. A typical highway in the ancient world would weave here and there through areas where the danger would not be going along and running over a wild animal, but the danger would be going along and being overtaken by a wild animal and being consumed by the wild animal. This passage says that there's no ravenous beast there. This is a way in which there is safety and security for those who will travel it in Jesus. And then notice, it is a way of joy. Isn't it a beautiful thought at the end of the chapter when it says that sorrow and sighing shall flee away? There is a way, and it is a way of grace and purity and truth and safety and joy. But now it needs to be mentioned and understood and accepted by all of us that this must be a way actually taken. There are 3 points that I think stand out in Isaiah 35 along this line. First, in taking this way, the way must be entered. The journey must be started. Notice that all through Isaiah 35, it says that this way belongs to the ransomed. The redeemed walk here, according to the end of verse 9. The ransomed of the Lord shall return. That's the language which suggests release from bondage by the payment of a price. The second point that needs to be understood is that having taken this way, we actually need to make the journey. The life needs to be lived. It is interesting to me that in Hebrews chapter 12, where the Hebrew writer quotes about the strengthening the weak hands and making firm the feeble knees, he actually talks about what goes into living this life. And third, the way must be completed, finished. What a comfort it was to the Apostle Paul when at the end of 2 Timothy, and apparently his last writings, he could say, "I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I've finished my course." He finished the course. He entered the way of holiness, and he lived it, and he completed the journey with the Lord. Friends, picture in your mind the highway of holiness. Consider this morning whether you are traveling that way that the grace of God has made available. If you need to begin the journey this morning, you are encouraged to do that. If we can help you, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.